Next man up here on 102.5 The Game, Jake Lyman out over in Blacksburg. Ironically, this song played in the background. Connor Newt, Nick Frazier filling in for you. Parker Kelly, of course, behind the glass. Real quick, let's tell you that later today on ESPN 94.9 The Fan, the Nashville Sounds take on Norfolk with the first pitch at 5:35 p.m. Coverage also available on the Game Nashville app and at thegamenashville.com. Sounds Baseball on ESPN 94.9 The Fan, presented by Twin Peaks and Family Leisure. So we were just discussing, I guess, our unofficial question of the day. I don't really want to coin that because that's Jason Big Joe's thing. By the way, they're coming up right after us at noon. If you could add one current player in the NFL to the Tennessee Titans and expect immediate results, which I did not, and I was outdone by Ben on our text line. Again, thank you, Ben. And thank you for listening. We're glad you love the show. Who would you add? Josh on our YouTube chat is mad at you, by the way, because you said you would not add A.J. Brown.
Yeah, I'm sorry, Josh.
I would.
I'm going to pass. I'll pass on A.J. Brown. I have nothing.
I would.
I have no ill will against A.J. Brown. I don't see. I mean, I get the whole question was immediate success. I'm just going to have to pass on him, man. I mean, I'm sorry.
I take him for the sole reason that he is better than any receiver we have right now. So
it's fair.
That'd be a good option for Cam Ward.
Even Calvin Ridley. Okay.
If I could say his name correctly, then yes, I'll tell you that A.J. Brown is better than Calvin Ridley.
Okay.
So there was some news yesterday that came out in the world of college football. And this is according to our friend, if I can find his name, Eric Bolin of the Sooners Wire. I guess he's an Oklahoma guy over on MSN. This is just the article I'm reading for. It was broken by the NCAA themselves. But the NCAA has voted to eliminate the spring transfer window. Quote, the NCAA FBS Oversight Committee voted Thursday to eliminate the spring transfer portal window and allow only a 10-day period in January. In the proposal, the portal would open January 2nd, 2026, one day after the college football playoff quarterfinals. The Division Administration Committee still must approve changes, though the vote is expected to take place some point later this month in September. So, to sum that up, basically you have two portal windows, right? You've got the winter one, there's a winter one
and spring.
These are now combined into one. So now you just have one winter window that opens January 2nd at the start of the new year. How do you feel about this, Frazier? Is this a good change for college football, or is it kind of more of the same and the downward decline of the sport we all love?
It's a push and pull thing for me. I mean, yeah, I think overall with the way college athletics, especially college football, is changing the trajectory of how they run things,
yeah,
it's good for the, I guess, structure. Because if you have two transfer windows, obviously, it gives two opportunities for players to keep moving around. I think it pacifies the eligibility for people to say, oh, you know what, after two games, I'm leaving. Or after a season, I'm leaving. Like, it just, there's less power now in the players that play in college athletics, especially college football. It gives the coaches a little bit more, I guess, dominance over their team. Because once you're in the NFL, and this is what it essentially is, college football is turning into the minor leagues of the NFL. We all know that.
Yeah.
But you look at, and a lot of people use Deion Sanders as a great example of this. If Deion Sanders were to go to the NFL, nobody's really going to listen to him because everybody's getting paid the same as him. And they're like, you know what?
He said that before. What, I think I heard this from Joe. What could I possibly use to coach up a guy that's getting paid more than me?
Right. And there's nothing.
Really, man. That's why he works so well in college.
Yeah, and then you go to college. Now eliminating two opportunities and now combining it into one, like I said, it gives more jurisdiction for a head coach to say, you know what, I can sway your opinion and sway your ideas about this program. You need to be here. This is your place. This is your home. You can do this thing. And so I think, you know, it's good for college athletics, but at the same time, it's an interesting dynamic. Obviously, like I said before, it's going to turn into a minor league for professional sports. I'm all for it. I'm going to be all in on this. I'm all for it.
Yeah. Ben on our text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, says, so what about the players on teams that are still playing after quarterfinals? Coaches and players got to deal with these while still playing. I think that is a problem that has been created. Let's say Ohio State and Notre Dame are playing in the semifinals. What happens when We'll use Carnell Tate, for example. Carnell Tate decides, I don't want to play at Ohio State anymore, hits the portal immediately, and is out against Notre Dame in the semifinals.
I think that's when it comes to, again, this is all up in the air, but a lot of these guys that, you know, sign these NIL deals with schools, or, you know, now that players are going to get paid through the college, you know, they're doing that little $20 million salary cap and it builds up year by year.
Mm-hmm.
I think there needs to be a stipulation in there if you're a marquee player, or there needs to be some sort of negotiating tactic with the university and the player to kind of say, hey, you got to finish out XYZ season. You can't leave at the end of that. But, I mean, again, that's all a negotiating thing. If a player declines that and says, hey, I'm going to leave, or I feel like the need, I need to leave at the end of XYZ season, but yet we still have two or three playoff games and I want to leave, then go for it. That's them. But I think there needs to be some form of a stipulation in there if there are contracts in college sports.
No, that's where I was going. It should be like the NFL, where players will come out and say, at the end of my contract, I will not be re-signing. It shouldn't be this Royal Rumble style of, well, I'm hitting the portal, see you guys later. No, it should be, you are an employee now. Contracts in college football are going to become a thing. I'm telling you this right now. It is going to become a main staple of college football. You're not a, quote, student athlete anymore. You're not going to school. You are an employee. You are a paid personnel to come play football for a university. Don't you think you should be able to finish out your obligations instead of just being able to legally dip and go somewhere else in the middle of a playoff run?
Shows accountability.
It's responsibility. It's accountability. It shows that you're an adult. And I think maybe not all programs, but most programs, if they see some guy willing to bail on his team in the middle of a playoff run for the sake of money, chances are they're probably not going to take a chance on that guy for their team next year. Now, that's not speaking for all programs, because I'm sure there are some out there that would do the exact same thing.
I think this whole one transfer portal window not only helps the Power Four schools with coaches, I think it really helps out those Group of Five teams, in all seriousness, because you have guys out there that, let's say for Diego Pavia's sake, was at New Mexico State, now he's at Vanderbilt. Mm-hmm. Imagine if there are more guys like Diego Pavia that make that one decision in the one window instead of having two of them. I just think it helps out well. And I mentioned coaches earlier. I think it helps out the coaches tremendously in Group of Five schools.
9926 on our text line says, I believe the current rule is if you are playing past the portal deadline, then once you play your last game, you have 10 days from your last game that you played to enter the portal. I assume that will still remain the case. Yes, I think you are correct. And I think that's the right plan right there.
It says,
because you saw it with Tennessee, right?
Yep.
The portal opened in late December. Tennessee had a playoff game against Ohio State, but you had receivers hitting the portal.
It was like December 20th, I think.
Yeah, you had like Squirrel White entered the portal before the Ohio State game, but he still played in that game. I would assume that would still be the case here, and I think it's going to limit a lot of that because you're only going to have four teams playing beyond the point when this opens. It opens right as the quarterfinals are ending, so you only have four teams alive, and those are probably going to be four big teams. You're probably going to get a lot of portal action from those four teams. But I would assume that would probably still be the case for the rule as far as, you know, they can only, like, if once they play their last game, then their personal window opens and they can go wherever they want.
Yeah, it says here in the article, the 10-day window is expected to open January the 2nd. That was confirmed by Pete Nakos with On3. So.
Okay. Thank you, Pete Nakos.
Yeah.
You're a legend. 615-737-1025 is our phone number. Our phone lines, of course, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. When we come back, is it truly the era of the downfall of Alabama? Kalen DeBoer had a very, very weird comment in his press conference that I want to get into, and maybe I'm reading way too much into it, but it is a very interesting comment. That's up next. Connor Newt, Nick Frazier here with you on Next Man Up on 102.5 The Game. There you go. That was Kalen DeBoer earlier this week. Completely backtracking everything he ever said against Florida State. He said they had a great week of preparation. The reporter said, well, what happened to that? And Kalen DeBoer is like, I didn't say that. So,
yikes.
Just thought that was interesting. Kind of shows the state of Alabama football right now. Next man up, Connor Newt, Nick Frazier here with you. And I asked the question, based on what you've heard there and how different that is from what you're used to hearing from the Alabama head coach, Are we truly in the era of the downfall of Alabama football? And I don't mean downfall meaning they're going to have a Florida State level collapse where they go 12-0 one season and then 2-10 the next season. But I mean, are we in the stage of Alabama is a mediocre football program? Like they are a 9-3. They're Texas A&M at this point. Are we in that era with Kalen DeBoer at the helm?
I think right now, yeah. They're in a little bit of a limbo, for sure. Kalen DeBoer has a ceiling with these Power Four schools, especially at Alabama. The SEC, there is a ceiling for certain coaches. I think Brian Kelly is trying to erase that ceiling in some regards at LSU, having that winning pedigree again. I think for Alabama with Kalen DeBoer, and you know, I mentioned it before, there's nothing that really excites me about DeBoer. And
yeah,
I don't know if he's really the guy to fix everything after Saban. This is definitely a stopgap coach in this aspect.
Yeah, I think, and you'll hear a lot of harping lately about, well, he's got a $70 million buyout. I promise you, the Alabama boosters and the people in Tuscaloosa will find the money.
Yeah.
If he's that bad, they will find the money. And I don't think he's a bad coach. I think he is a good X's and O's coach for a conference outside of the SEC. That's what he needs to realize. This ain't the Pac-12 anymore. You're not playing Oregon, who's a great team, but Oregon is probably your only elite level opponent your entire year. This isn't that anymore. You are playing SEC football. That is week to week. You are playing the best of the best. And you may have some average teams in there, like in Arkansas or, God save us all, Kentucky. But you are playing pretty much on a consistent basis the teams that you're going to see in the playoff, and that's like Texas and Georgia and LSU and maybe Tennessee and teams like that. This is not low-level Power Four football anymore. This is the best of the best. So to be the best of the best in that conference, you got to coach the best of the best. He hasn't been doing that. His excuse lately has been, well, I feel like I can go into these games and out-scheme the other coach. You couldn't out-scheme an ACC team. So what does that tell me you're going to do against Georgia in a couple weeks on the road?
You got to clock manage. There's no out-scheme in Georgia. You just have to clock manage.
Yep.
And you just pick and choose your battles.
So tickets for tomorrow's game, Alabama, and I believe they're playing Louisiana Monroe, one of the worst teams in FBS football, $8. Says a lot about the state of care. Now, I understand they're playing it's a bye game. No one cares.
Yeah, cupcake.
It's a cupcake. You know, you just want to get your wins where you can. But when I went to MTSU a couple years ago, MTSU went on it was actually Saban's last home opener as the Alabama head coach. Those tickets were $40 a piece. Now they are $8 for the same level of opponent. I mean, that tells you a lot. I think I saw someone yesterday posted that two chicken quesadillas from Taco Bell cost $11.30, so that's more than an Alabama ticket.
Oh, wow.
So, if you're thinking about lunch, maybe head down to Tuscaloosa.
There you go. That's interesting. Now, you do make a good point. Sure, it's, what, $2 and some change of difference when it comes to, you know, ticket prices. But for me, Kalen DeBoer needs to have a reset game against UL Monroe. And this is definitely one of those things to where you look at, I don't know, you look at DeBoer and Ryan Williams. You know, I mentioned last week when we were on the radio that Ryan Williams, he got hurt. He was in concussion protocol the rest of that game. I don't think he played the rest of the game, to be honest with you. And now that he's, I don't know the current status of him, but if you're going to go out there and target Ryan Williams every single play for the most part, you're going to get your key guys hurt.
Mm-hmm.
And if DeBoer's going to do that, then he's not going to be there that long.
Yeah.
He's just not.
I mean, I think we're underestimating the level of the standard that Alabama puts on these coaches.
Now,
No,
you go ahead.
You are the guy after the guy, and you never want to be the guy after the guy. There are rare cases where the guy after the guy has panned out, and I think you're seeing that right now for a certain team in blue in the college basketball scheme.
Right.
But Nick Saban is the greatest coach that has ever touched a college football field. There is no following up his legacy. That said, they expect to compete for a championship. They expect 10-2, 11-1, 12-0. They expect that level of success on a year-to-year basis.
Mm-hmm.
You cannot, as the Alabama head coach anymore, go out and win or lose four games including your bowl game against a Big Ten team that went 6-6 in the regular season. It's just not how it works. So I think if this trend continues, they're going to be scraping together money. I promise you they will. If Texas A&M can do it with Jimbo Fisher, Alabama can do it with Kalen DeBoer. And then they're going to be looking for a coach this next offseason. And we don't know who that is. That might be Lane Kiffin or someone that they think can come in and produce immediate results. But this was a project hire to me.
Yeah.
You can look at the resume for Kalen DeBoer and say, well, he's won everywhere he's been. Not on this level. Not on the level of SEC football, which is the greatest conference in America. And don't give me the Big Ten is so much better, because it's not. Kalen DeBoer has not won consistently on this level, and he just went out and lost to an ACC team that's coming off of a 2-10 season. So it's not looking good for Kalen DeBoer right now, and I realize we're in week one, and this is their bounce-back game against a horrible team. You also got to remember, Ryan Williams is out of concussion protocol.
Yeah, and you still have Ty Simpson. Let's not forget that. I mean,
who was remarkably underwhelming.
Yeah, and you could say it's his decision-making on the field, or you could put it on the shoulders of Kalen DeBoer saying, no, Ty Simpson's our guy going into this year. And everybody said it going into the season. Kalen DeBoer said Ty Simpson's his guy. You're going to have to fall on the shoulders of Ty Simpson.
Yeah.
If Ty Simpson doesn't pan out, you don't pan out.
Yep.
Simple as that.
I mean, that's your guy. I know you didn't recruit him, but you named him the starter, and you had the option to go recruit over him, and you didn't. So
now, to that point, too, about the lack of recruiting from Alabama and Kalen DeBoer.
I don't think there's a lack of recruiting.
Well, I know. I'm just saying
the talent is flowing in.
Lack of the talent that he wants to put out there on the
yeah.
field. You think that comes into a factor as well?
I don't think it's the lack of recruiting, because he's recruiting blue-chip talent.
I'm talking about the lack of talent he's putting out on the field.
It's a matter of they're not going out there and producing.
I really think what it is. I don't think it's misassignments or drop balls or Ty Simpson making bad. I don't think that's what it boils down to. I really think what it boils down to is lack of effort.
Yep.
The effort from the Alabama players was not there, and that wasn't a problem under Nick Saban. Usually under Nick Saban coach teams, if you don't give anything but 100% on the field, you don't have to worry about the coaches screaming at you when you go in the locker room. You have to worry about the players. Those were player-led teams. There's no player leadership under a Kalen DeBoer right now.
Yeah,
that's fair.
There's a whole file of sound bites in that folder of just Nick Saban screaming at his players.
Yeah.
There isn't that with Kalen DeBoer. There's no accountability, it looks like. And that's a program issue. That is the message you're teaching these players. And I understand you're never going to follow up Nick Saban. Nick Saban's the greatest to ever do it and always will be. But on that note, Alabama expects results. Quickly, let's go to our phone lines driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Edward wants to weigh in. Edward, good morning. How are you?
Good morning. Can you hear me okay?
Yes, sir. Loud and clear.
Just out running, getting my morning run in. I listen to the morning show. Great job, guys.
Thank you very much.
Two things I wanted to mention about: if you could pick any current player in the NFL to come to the Tennessee Titans, I think that's what the question was. Who
yes,
would
sir.
It be? Well, guys, the most important sport position in any sport is the National Football League quarterback, period. He's equal to the coach. I'm sorry, he is. I would take Patrick Mahomes in a heartbeat.
Mm.
That's the game changer for everything. Now, Cam Ward, I'm giving him his opportunity. He's a rookie, and we're going to see rookie results. I'm sorry, that's just the way it is.
Mm.
He will come into it. In 2 to 3 years, we'll see what's happening. The second comment, Coach DeBoer, you guys are too young to remember it. I'm 63. Ray Perkins took over for Bear Bryant. He went 10-2 his first season, I believe.
Mm.
They were ready to get rid of him. It's just a no-win situation. You are correct. We got to experience something in our lifetime watching Nick Saban, the greatest college football coach in the history of the game. I've always had it: Nick Saban, Bear Bryant, and Newt Rockne. Newt Rockne died at 34 in a plane crash. He'd already won 4 national championships.
Mm-hmm.
No telling what he would have pulled off. But those are my comments. As silly as they may be, I'm sorry, I'd take Patrick Mahomes. And we would win. He is the game changer. Thanks, guys.
Thanks, Edward. Thank you for the call. That was great. Yeah, I think he hit on an interesting point there. on the DeBoer front as far as patience. But I don't think in this new era of college football and college sports in general, especially with the standards Alabama has right now, I don't think he has time for patience.
No, there is zero patience with that. I call it organization because
it is an organization now.
It's zero patience. And to your point earlier about, you know, DeBoer and, you know, the aspect of, you know, not producing in some aspects, like the lack of effort Parker was talking about under Saban. I feel like modern day coaches, and I put DeBoer in this category, take that for granted. They already expect that. And sometimes I think it's okay as a head coach to reassure that, to tell your guys in the locker room, hey, if we want this to be a player-led locker room, show me.
Yeah.
And if not, I will take initiative. As you should, as a head coach, you should. But I think a lot of these head coaches in modern-day college football take that for granted a little bit, and they expect it.
I mean, you kind of expect – this isn't the NFL where there are nice guys and there are mean guys. Like, it seems like, for the most part, most college coaches are hard-nosed, run-through-the-wall coaching for their jobs every year because that's how the state of the game is now. If you don't produce in a 2 to 3 year span, you're probably gone based on – depending on the program, unless your name is Mark Stoops and you've been there for 10 years and still haven't produced results.
Yeah.
But – it's just a matter of get it together, man. Like, I haven't seen, and this is all optics. Maybe he does behind the scenes. Just like Brian Callahan, maybe he does it behind the scenes. I haven't seen Kalen DeBoer rip a player for not executing or not having the same amount of effort that they have in practice in a game day scenario because, again, maybe all optics, maybe he's doing that in the locker room, but I think for the public eye standpoint and for the standpoint of Tuscaloosa journalism and the University of Alabama, I need to see Kalen DeBoer get mad. I need to see him crash out on a player at the podium or crash out on his coaching staff or crash out on himself and be accountable. None of this, I didn't say that. Did I say that? And every journalist there confirms you did, in fact, say that. No more of this excuse making. Those people in Tuscaloosa want to win. You were hired to win. So go out and do that. 615-737-1025 is our phone number. 615-737-1025. I sound like a salesman right now. Coming up next, speaking of get right games around the SEC, there are a couple big games in the SEC. One has a get right game coming off of a loss. The other two are big games for implications going on later in the season. That's up next. Next man up here on 1025, Connor Newt. Nick Frazier. We'll be right back after this. Next man up here on 102.5 The Game, Jake Lyman, missing in action. So Connor Newt, myself, Nick Frazier, himself, I've said that like 8 times today.
In the flesh.
Are taking over. We've taken the reins. Some big games, sort of, across the SEC this weekend. Speaking of get-right games, we just talked about Alabama and how they got to get on the right track. There's another team that lost over the weekend, last weekend. One of two SEC programs, that is, Texas against UTSA. What do you think Texas needs to come out and show, especially Arch Manning against, again, a lower-tier FBS opponent? They're favored by 38.5 right now, I think. Maybe it's gone up to 45. I can't remember.
I see it on ESPN at 36.5.
Okay, so it's gone down.
So,
but they are favored by a large, large margin.
Yeah.
What does Texas, from a skill standpoint, need to show us that they are still a top-tier team in the nation?
Personally, looking at Arch Manning, he's the eye candy everybody pays attention to, but the passing. I think Arch has to really dial in on a lot of these passing routes, and I mentioned it last Saturday or Sunday, whenever we were on, and Parker, we all were talking about it.
Monday,
thank you. It was that Arch was just not dialed in on a lot of those passes in the fourth quarter on that last drive they had.
Yeah.
Stuff was thrown behind them, overthrown certain wide receivers. I just think that's something that Arch has to dial in on and just take advantage of a team like San Jose State. You know, somebody's mentioned on the text line multiple times in previous weeks saying, oh, college football needs to have a spring preseason game, whatever, to dial out these kinks. I mean, no, because it's college football. And two, this is why you have cupcake games. So I think you're playing at home. San Jose State comes to you. This is a get-right game, not only for just Texas as a whole, because we've seen what their defense, you know, can do, And their run game is fine. It's primarily the passing game. And if they can dial in on the passing game, and I'm not talking about deep balls down the field. I'm talking about intermediate routes, short out routes, stuff like that. That's what really needs to be dialed in on, because we know Arch has the arm for the most part. Sure, a lot of his balls were not tight spirals. He's a young kid.
And you want those balls tight?
Yeah. On the field. You're right.
On the field.
Yeah, on the field. So it's just something you have to dial in on. I don't know. What do you think about Texas?
I think we're overreacting on Arch Manning a little bit. Mm-hmm. Yeah, he looked really bad. But it was against Ohio State on the road. And if Ohio State is what I think Ohio State is, that's going to be one of the top defenses in the nation this year. I think my dad told me this the other day. If he doesn't go out and throw for 350 and four touchdowns, then he's probably a failure. I don't think he needs to do that much. But I think he needs to show signs of progression and bounce back and saying, you know, yeah, I had a really bad game. And he handled his press conference very maturely. I was very impressed.
Yeah.
He needs to go out, have a good game, don't turn the ball over, and just look like a competent quarterback. I can't exactly put a stat line on it because I don't like doing that. I don't think it's fair to say, well, if you don't meet this certain benchmark precisely, then you are a failure of a quarterback.
Right.
I'll say the same thing about Cam Ward on Sunday. If I don't think we can put a certain stat line on him, but if he goes out and he looks like a, you know, dialed in quarterback, competent, paying attention to his reads, and on the Steve Sarkisian front, open that playbook up a little bit more. Because against Ohio State, it was very conservative. It was run, you know, we'll throw a bubble screen to the left, we'll throw check downs, etc. Arch didn't throw for over like 5 yard passes for a long, long time.
Right.
He looked terrible, and that's part of the reason. But I got to see a lot more from Texas. You got to open the playbook up. You got to show me that your quarterback is competent. And I think they can do that against UTSA. They're going to win by 35.
Yeah, I mean, there were points in that Texas-Ohio State game. Obviously, the ramifications of it all, it's a high-profile game. But at the same time, there were times in the red zone where Texas could have probably just taken the points.
Yeah.
And it probably would have worked out for them later on in that game against Ohio State. So, obviously, it's San Jose State. You can take advantage of, like, a 4th-and-2 or 4th-and-3 because more than likely the percentages are you're going to get that first down. But I would like to see some of the decision-making, not from Arch, not from the offense, just from Steve Sarkisian and that offensive side of the ball, coaching-wise. Just make the right decisions. And that's all about building along the rest of the season. And if they can kind of fix a lot of those kinks out against a team that they should take advantage of, this team should be back on track easy.
If you're just tuning in and wondering where Jake Lyman is, I'll tell you right now, he's headed down the road to Blacksburg, Virginia, where Virginia Tech and Vandy are about to do battle tomorrow night. So let's talk about that game.
Yeah.
Big game for both teams. This is a can Vanderbilt show that they are still the same level of team they were last year game for them. And this is a revenge game for Virginia Tech. They played South Carolina close, didn't score a touchdown, but played them close. And they're playing at home in probably one of the best environments in college football at night. What do we make of this one? I think this is going to be a sneaky, sneaky good game. I'm very excited to watch this one.
Yeah, I said this yesterday with Jake. It's an environment that Pavia has never experienced. I think that's going to play a huge factor into this. Vandy is definitely a good ball club, but they played Charleston Southern. And there were a lot of things that, you know, they capitalized on against a team that's practically a preseason game for them. Going up against a team like Virginia Tech, it's a little bit similar to Vanderbilt in a roundabout way. Kyren Drones, I love the way that Tech was able to, I guess, manipulate their play calling to where Drones, if they were design runs, they weren't design runs. He figured out a way to get that first down. I think he rushed for 35, 36 yards, something like that.
Yeah.
He just picked and chose his battles as a quarterback. And if I'm Vandy, just eliminate the run. I'm confident enough that this pass defense of Vanderbilt can kind of pacify that Virginia Tech offense. But just eliminate the run, and they should be all right.
Yeah, I think this is going to be a fun one to watch because I think Virginia Tech has shown that they compete with the SEC.
Mm-hmm.
They played Carolina close for a good portion of that game, and it was partially because of their defense.
Mm-hmm.
That said, you're returning home on your opening night in one of the best environments in all of college football. It is hard for me to say that Virginia Tech is going to come out here and get smoked because I think they're going to be playing for those fans in the stands. That said, on paper, I think Vanderbilt is probably the better team. But this is where college football gets fun. Environments and mentalities come into factor, and they could ultimately go out and lose.
And imagine what that Virginia Tech locker room is like right now when it comes to—
They're dialed in. They've had this one circled. They lost last year.
Yeah, and especially for Brent Pry. I mean, come on now.
Yeah,
I mean— Think about that.
Hot seat.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, you got to be playing for your coach, and, you know, that's something that Tech fans might need to, you know, realize that this could be one of those games where you have to get the win.
Yeah.
And because if you don't, then your season's kind of down the tube.
Yeah. And I mean, you especially don't want to go down the tube because you play in a weak ACC conference. And you, I would say, are probably one of the better teams in said conference. So you could easily compete for an ACC title. Hey, if you're out watching the NFL games this Sunday, come out to Twin Peaks in Madison. Big Joe and Chris Sanders will be hosting the game's pregame show from 1 to 3 p.m. prior to the Titans' season opener versus the Broncos. Pregame show is brought to you by Parman Tractor and Equipment, Old National Bank, Circa Sportsbook, Kentucky, and Tennessee Brewworks. Speaking of Vanderbilt football, the Commodores are traveling to Blacksburg to take on Virginia Tech tomorrow. Pregame at 5 and kickoff at 6:30 p.m. Vanderbilt football brought to you by Gary Force Acura and Smoky Mountain Tops. Next minute up here on 102.5 The Game, when we come back, I'm on the air. You know I love my EA games. So there was some news that came out yesterday about the future of EA gaming and college athletics that I have a problem with. We'll get to that next. Next man up, Connor Newt, Nick Frazier here on 102.5 The Game. Next man up, broadcasting from the Busy Bee Plumbing, Heating, and Air Conditioning Game Nashville Studios, home of the $99 yearly BI membership, where the buzz is always about great service. Connor Newt, Nick Frazier, Parker Kelly here with you today. So, the big news of yesterday. Not even on the field news. Not even, I mean, technically it's sports news. I'm on the air. You know I'm going to talk about this because it's my favorite topic. EA Sports has officially canceled plans to create a college basketball game. Now, the plans for that were glorious. 350-plus teams, men's and women's, similar to what the college football game is right now. You have your dynasty. You have your ultimate team, whatever you want to play.
All the fun.
All the fun. They have canceled their plans in replace of that. 2K is going to create a game. They're going to add a DLC to 2K27, I would assume, of college teams. And then in 27, they're going to create their own standalone game. Now, they've said this is going to have, quote, over 100 teams, Power Four, mid-major, what have you. I'm kind of disappointed. And I'll tell you why, because I wanted the full experience. I wanted 350 teams. Now I only get 100 plus, and that could be 105, it could be 150. But what drives me crazy about this is what makes college basketball so fun is the tournament. How am I going to have a 68-team tournament when there's only 100 teams in the game and make logical sense? Let's say I'm playing with Kentucky and we are the number one overall seed. Who are we going to play in the first round at number 16?
North Carolina.
8-20 Pitt. That, first off, that doesn't even make logical sense for them to even make the tournament. They have 8 wins. But I don't want to play them. I want to play Oakland. I want to play Troy. I want to play
Florida Gulf Coast.
Alabama A&T. All these teams that you've never heard of before. I want to play them. And on the other side, I want to start a rebuild with those teams and make them a college basketball powerhouse. I want to take the Murray State Racers all the way. That's why I'm kind of disappointed, because you don't have that, kind of like the college football game has now. You don't have, I can't take Bowling Green all the way. Like, if I were to guess, I did the math yesterday. There are 76 teams across all Power Four, and that is SEC, ACC, Big Ten, Big 12. My guess is they're going to add the Big East, which is the right move. That would give you probably like 90 teams. Then you got to have like Gonzaga and Memphis and these big basketball power powerhouse teams that aren't in traditional conferences but are still contending on a year-to-year basis. That probably gets you up to 100. So I don't want to play the chalk teams. I want to play the unknowns. I want to play Belmont and I don't know. Let's just make up a team here. Texas Air Conditioning and Plumbing.
There you go.
Something like that. That's why I'm kind of disappointed.
Mississippi Valley State. There you go.
It's real.
That is a real
It's a real place.
Yeah.
What do you think? I mean, am I
hear me out.
It's probably not in the general interest of the public, but
right.
It's the general interest of my generation.
I get the whole EA thing. I think 2K does a better job at creating a basketball game. I think graphics-wise, it's nice. It's smooth, so forth. But you're right about the whole 100 teams. You said DLC for the first year, right?
And this it'll probably be like a paid thing.
Yeah.
And pay $30 for the SEC pack.
Yeah, like I get all that. It's a money-making thing. But at the same time, you have to look at it from a licensing standpoint. They're probably getting the licensing as the game progresses, unfortunately. And that's just...
Yeah, I think it'll expand.
Yeah, I just think that's a bad way of doing things. Just create a game when you have everything ready. Like what they did with NCAA. I mean, the football game.
It took a while.
It did.
We have it.
Exactly.
And it's glorious.
Yeah. So
and I play it every night, and my dad makes fun of me. He's like, is that all you play? And I'm like, yeah.
Please, make fun of me.
It's my job.
Yeah.
It's my.
So I'm indifferent on the whole thing. I don't agree with the you know, making the game before all the teams are ready. I get the whole 100 team thing, but just wait till you have all 300.
I mean, EA was going to put theirs out in 28. I was more than willing to wait till 28 if I could play with 350-plus teams.
Yeah, I mean, for the last 10 to 12 years, everybody was downloading rosters for old games, and they just kept using those new rosters for the old graphics.
Yeah, I mean, it was Ricky last night said, you know, 2K8 still exists, and I'm like, Rick, I don't have the option of the ancient technology known as an Xbox 360.
Yeah.
So, and then that turned into, why are you calling me old? And I'm like, because you are.
Oh, man, really out there. You're right, though. It is malpractice for them to go release 100 teams. I just hope that the graphics are not bad. I think
they'll be great.
Yeah, 2K's done a really good job of just making really good graphics.
Get the environment right.
Yeah.
That's kind of my disappointment, too, is because I think EA nailed the environment for college football.
Yeah.
Like, it's perfect. College basketball is such a different environment from the NBA and so much more fun, and it makes it more watchable than the NBA. So make that environment. I want the band playing while I'm calling a timeout in Rupp Arena up 40 against Tulsa.
Yeah. I liked an NCAA 10 when you could hear Gus Johnson, we're in Lucas Oil Stadium.
Yeah.
I mean, like,
Final Four.
Yeah, that was crazy. Hearing Gus Johnson call a basketball game, that's the atmosphere you want, like you're talking about. That's what they need to bring back. See, that's what NCAA football did. They spent that extra time to really hone in on the details, to make sure the gamer that's in just consuming that video game,
yeah,
that they're immersed into all of it.
I mean, it's the small, like, you know this for playing with Texas Tech. When you kick off, you got the tortilla toss.
Yeah. I mean, there's no other place
details.
You get it. I love it. I love every bit
and
of
I
it.
Want that in this. And I'm scared it's not going to be there because it's 2K and 2K's traditionally lazy.
Yeah.
And likes money.
It's true.
Now, a lot of people are complaining about, like, they're going to charge so much for the career mode. I don't really play the career mode. I'm not a fan of that.
Yeah.
I mean, technically, Dynasty and college football is a career mode, but that's coaching career, and I like to play with the whole team. I didn't ever get into the Road to Glory stuff. That's all you guys. Yeah. But I don't really care about that. Just give me a good game.
It's fair.
That's all I care about.
Yeah, but I'd say basketball Road to Glory was a little different. They didn't start out in high school. It started out as like freshman in college and then you went on to the pros.
Yeah.
As for college football, it was high school, college football, and pros.
Yeah, and you played all 4 years of high school.
Which I thought was pretty cool. So,
yeah.
But yeah.
Well, I mean, that's my video game rant for the day. I'm done.
I love it. I love it. I think that's exactly what we need to see, is we need to see all teams out all at once, not just your DLC here, DLC there, DLC 5 months down the road. Because that just makes a boring product.
I'm bored of NBA. I don't like NBA in general, so I'm bored of the game. That's why I play so much college football, because there's nothing like college sports.
Exactly.
It's my favorite. NHL comes out next week. I'm excited for that.
Oh, really?
Hockey. We're getting to hockey season.
We are getting to hockey season. I'm pretty pumped for this year, to be honest.
What y'all know about hockey?
Yeah, Parker Kelly, what do you know?
Yeah, what do you know? Man. Give us a breakdown of the Predators' third-line pairings.
That'll have to suffice for another time.
Okay.
Yeah, he's got to do more research on that.
Hey, I love it, though.
I'm ready for Preds hockey.
Yeah.
I think they're going to have a better year than they did last year.
Absolutely.
Or not to. But I think, without giving anything away, I think, you know, a wild card position is in play here.
Absolutely.
That's just my opinion.
If not, yeah. Definitely.
If not, then we're going to have a conversation about that head coach there.
Maybe.
Andrew Brunette. Who's better, Andrew Brunette or Fred Brunette?
It's tough.
Fred Brunette's the man.
Yeah. Maybe Freddie.
Oh, Freddie called in last week.
Yeah. Chatted with him after halftime. Cool guy.
Good win for them.
It was a good win for them.
Lots of good games tonight.
Yeah.
And you can catch them all. Well, not the game, but you can catch our game of the week right here on 102.5 The Game. Parker Kelly and I will have the Game Blitz pregame show prior to that. And then afterwards, it's the Game Blitz from the end of the Metro Nashville game of the week. All night long, probably till around 11:30, midnight.
Or sunrise.
Whatever comes first.
We better not be in here until sunrise, Connor. Yeah, we got to be back here tomorrow morning.
That is true. And I also got to produce a game going on in Madison, Wisconsin tomorrow.
There you go.
But some good high school games tonight. Excited for the family affair is tonight. Blackman and Riverdale. Got boots on the ground one, so we'll hear some reports from there. 615-737-1025 is our phone number. Our phone line's driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. When we come back, we'll get back into the Titans because they play a game in 2 days, believe it or not. Is there truly a world where the Titans knock off the Denver Broncos in the Mile High Stadium? That's up next. Connor Newt, Nick Frazier, Parker Kelly here on Next Man Up, 102.5 The Game.